are feeling stirred by God in expectancy for this new year. My talk this morning, I've headed this, and this won't surprise you because you've heard these words already this morning. In fact, you've heard quite a few of these words that I'm going to say already this morning. So my title of my talk this morning is God is Breaking Out. Are we ready? God is breaking out. Are we ready? And this morning I just want to pick up on the Christmas story where we left it a couple of weeks ago in Luke chapter 2. I was remembering this week what it was like coming home after the birth of our first child. After all the kind of the build-up, the months and weeks of anticipation and excitement and anxiety and wondering and questions and false starts, and then the moment when we were in hospital and the long hours in the delivery suite and the pain of labour and all those fruit pastels I ate. And then finally that moment of birth and you're holding your newborn, that moment that nothing can prepare you for. And then all the attention and the kind of noise of the ward and the nurses and other parents with their newborn children. And then before you know it, you're home. And it was just Anne and myself and this little baby. And we thought, help! What do we do now? What happens next with this little person? It's kind of back to earth with a big bump. Let's turn to Luke 2. What about for Mary and Joseph? Mary and Joseph, they're not just getting used to having this little baby, this person totally dependent on you, but they're living in the aftershock of the last year of their lives. The aftershock of angelic visitations, personal and through dreams, of trying to come to terms with this news of supernatural conception of who this baby would be, trying to come to terms with their lives, their plans, the things that they've been thinking about for their future, kind of just being turned upside down, having to deal with the whispers and the gossip of many in the neighbourhood, this pregnancy outside of marriage, having to live with all the doubts and all the questions and the wondering that must have filled their preparations for their wedding and the birth, and the hassle of the census and the trauma of having to travel at the height of pregnancy to Bethlehem and Joseph not booking ahead for a room, the kind of the unbelievable highs and lows of the birth of Jesus. They're away from their family and their loved ones. They're in the roughest of accommodation. And yet there are angelic choirs and their heavenly announcements and there are Larry worshipping shepherds. But now they're alone with this baby and the promises of God that are amazing. But how on earth are these going to come about? What on earth is this going to look like? And we're told in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 19, that Mary treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. I bet she did. I bet Joseph did too. What on earth is this going to look like? What is this that we've just come through? What is this that God is leading us into now? And so this morning, I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at what happens next. And the scene shifts to the temple at Jerusalem. And there are various things required of Joseph and Mary as Jewish first-time parents with a newborn son, required by Jewish ceremonial law. And this includes a trip to the temple at Jerusalem. So if you've got a Bible and you want to follow with me, it's Luke 2. 21. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary take their newborn son Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem because there are requirements of them in the Jewish ceremonial law. And these events would have been repeated and seen many times every day in and around the temple with different parents and different babies. And these might seem like fairly unusual to us, but in one sense, fairly run-of-the-mill kind of rituals, a bit like, I guess, us kind of registering the birth of a child. But for those who loved God, these things were full of meaning to them. And for Joseph and for Mary, given who Jesus was, the significance of these things was off the scale and going stratospheric. But we're going to come back to that in a minute. Even the venue, the temple, was hugely significant for God's people. For the Jews, their kind of worldview of heaven and earth was not as two separate places or spheres, but as interlocking and overlapping realms. Heaven, to the Jews, was the dwelling place of God, and earth was the dwelling place of mankind, God's creation. But these two spheres, heaven and earth, met and overlapped in one place, and that was the temple. Why? Because that was how God had chosen it for it to be, for a time. God had decided that this one tiny place would be where people would get a glimpse of what it would be like for heaven to invade earth. A place where God would meet with his people, where his glory would be seen and felt. A place where his mercy and forgiveness could be found. But also with the promise that one day, not just the holy place in the temple, but the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. Not just for a chosen few to see and witness and experience, but for all the peoples of all the nations to see and experience. The temple was for God's people. It was like a guarantee that God had promised to invade earth with the glory and the transforming, life-bringing power of heaven. It was like the initial down payment of that. And here on this day, a young couple, Joseph and Mary, are bringing a baby to that place, to the temple. And this baby is going to be the instigator of the heavenly breakout of God's glory and power. Jesus is the one who is going to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in a whole new way that is going to change the face of history. Heaven is going to be opened through his life and his death and his resurrection, and the glory and the power of God and his forgiving grace and his eternal life and indwelling spirit are going to be poured out. God is breaking out. These things are no longer going to be contained in the temple. They are breaking out to cover the whole earth. Joseph and Mary are bringing this baby who is going to be the instigator of that breakout. God is breaking out. Who's ready? Jesus himself would one day declare, "I tell you, one greater than the temple is here." Matthew 12, verse 6. And he would later stand in that temple being challenged by the religious leaders for a sign to prove his authority, and he would answer them this way: "Tear down this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And although that puzzled the religious leaders, we know that Jesus was referring to himself, that God would raise him back to life 3 days after his death. One greater than the temple had come, Jesus. Why? Because God was breaking out. This is not just another Jewish baby being brought to the temple in Jerusalem. This is God himself breaking out. Who's ready and who's waiting? Firstly, Jesus was circumcised and he was named. Then his parents brought and offered a sacrifice, God's provision for the forgiveness of their sin. And then they presented Jesus as their firstborn and dedicated him to God, offering another sacrifice as a way of remembering how God had rescued them as a people from slavery in Egypt, when the people had sacrificed a lamb, covered the doorposts with its blood, and God had spared their firstborn children in that last terrible plague that saw the grip of Pharaoh broken over them. These weren't just empty rituals that they were doing. These things were really all about what happens when heaven invades earth. Circumcision was a picture of being brought into a special relationship with God. Being given a name means that I have a new identity in God. Being consecrated, being dedicated to the Lord means I've been given a purpose from God. And the offering of a sacrifice, the means of being forgiven by God. And it wasn't accidental or coincidental that for many centuries, many of these acts took place in the temple, because the temple was the place where heaven invaded earth. And when heaven invades earth, these amazing things happen. Sin gets forgiven. People get made whole again. Nobodies become somebodies. People get a new identity. Outcasts enter into a covenant relationship with God. Human lives are given divine purpose. But God has promised his people that these things are not going to be confined to the temple forever. And God is getting ready to break out his kingdom in a whole new earth-shattering dimension. And who would have known it? To look at this little baby bundle of chubby fingers and toes and wispy hair and drool, but God is breaking out. Are we ready? Who's ready? Here are Jesus and Joseph and Mary circumcising Jesus. It's a sign of a special relationship granted by God with God. But Jesus is the one who for all eternity is in perfect, unbroken, loving relationship with God the Father and the Spirit. But through him, God is going to open up a new and living way for anyone to come to him and become his son or daughter. Not something brought about by a physical mark on the body, but by being given a changed heart. A heart and mind that are alive to God, that are able to respond to his love, filled with the light of truth and a hunger to please God. God is breaking out through Jesus. And Joseph and Mary are offering the sacrifice for their sins to be cleansed and to be dealt with. And as they do that, they're carrying in their arms the one through whom God is going to take away the sins of all who will turn and believe in him. And soon the need for repeated sacrifices are going to become obsolete, because Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, is going to lay down his life to do away with sin by one perfect, once for all sacrifice. God is breaking out in a whole new way, a whole new dimension through this Jesus. And here they are, Joseph and Mary, they're consecrating before God his own son. Eternally God himself, perfect and holy, whom God has literally placed in Mary's womb and entrusted into their keeping for this brief moment in eternity. The only one in all of human history who is going to do God's will in perfect obedience throughout his entire life, so that God can credit his perfect record to all who put their trust in him. God is breaking out in a whole new dimension through this Jesus. And here they are, Joseph and Mary. They're celebrating their people's rescue from slavery, holding the one who God said is going to be the Savior and Rescuer and King of all mankind, who will lead people out of a greater darkness and slavery than any human oppression, that slavery of sin and death. The one who is going to bring life and freedom to all who follow him. God is breaking out in a whole new dimension of glory and power and heaven invading earth through this little baby that Joseph and Mary are bringing to the temple. God is breaking out. Who's ready? Well, on that day, that must have seemed to most like any other ordinary day in Jerusalem, but was actually part of history-changing breakout of God's kingdom, there were two people in the temple who were ready and waiting and hoping and longing for just such a moment. And I think they probably wouldn't have woken with any idea that this day was going to be different from any other day. But they were living with a longing from God that God would break into history again in a new way to bring his glory and saving power in their lifetime. Verse 25 of chapter 2 in Luke. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the one that God had promised, the Messiah, the King, the Rescuer, the Savior. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There's one person who was ready. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. And he was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. So Mary and Joseph, they're in the temple courts with their baby Jesus. They're either on their way, I guess, or coming back from what they'd come to do. And they get approached by a man named Simeon. We don't know much about him, just the important stuff. Luke says Simeon was righteous and devout. What does that mean? It just means he was committed to God. That of first importance to him was knowing God, worshipping God, following God, serving God. And we're told he was full of God's Spirit. And we're told that God had given him an amazing promise that the Savior, the Rescuer, the King who God had promised centuries earlier to his people to send was going to come in his lifetime, and not just that, but that Simeon would see him with his own eyes. Exactly how God had spoken this to Simeon, we don't know. We're not told. But this promise had clearly gripped Simeon's heart, because it's how Luke sums up his life. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the promise that God had made to his people of rescue and healing and salvation. It summed up his life. He didn't make a song and a dance about it. He didn't lead a movement. He didn't try and build a position of influence through this. Don't know that he accomplished a bunch of great things. We're not told. What did he do? He watched and he prayed. He was faithful and he was obedient. Maybe his prayers were something like this. God, I believe you're doing something wonderful in this world and I desperately want to see it. I believe there is something tremendous going on and you're the one behind it. And I want to watch it more than anything. I'd love somehow to participate in it and to be part of it. And he wouldn't have known how or what or when, but he waited and he prayed and he listened to the voice of God's Spirit in him and he was ready. And on this day, he just felt that he needed to go to the temple. And while he was there, in walked Joseph and Mary carrying their baby. And he sees them and maybe his heart begins to race because in his heart he feels that he needs to go to them. And so he does. He's a complete stranger, but he's bold. He walks up to them. He approaches them. I'm sure he smiled. And he asks if he can hold their baby. And he takes Jesus in his arms. And he knows. We're not told how he knows, but he knows. He knows because God puts a certainty in his heart and he praises God. We read the words that he said, words lifted straight out of the prophecies of Isaiah. God, this is really him. This is it, isn't it, God? He's the one who's going to save the world. He's the one who you promised. Then he hands the baby back to Mary and Joseph and he blesses them. And we're told the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. I bet they did. It's pretty amazing stuff. It's such a poignant moment, isn't it, when somebody asks to see your child for the first time and comments. You're just hoping for, isn't he cute? Or, doesn't he look like his dad? Or, he's got your eyes. But here, Joseph and Mary, they hand this baby to a total stranger and he starts to pray. All right, God, you can take me home now. I can die a happy man now because I've seen this baby. Just a glimpse of these people's baby is what I have been waiting for my whole life. And you can just imagine Mary and Joseph, can't you, bursting with amazement and joy at these words. But then Simeon says to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Okay, I've got to run now. Thank you. Couldn't you have stopped with the first bit maybe? That's the last we ever see of Simeon or hear of him. In the end, it's not the most comfortable message in the world that he delivers, is it? This child is the hope of the world. He's what Simeon has been waiting his whole life long for. But he's going to be spoken against. In other words, people are going to oppose him. Some people will resist him, just as many still do. And great pain is coming to Mary. And we know this is pointing to the day, ultimately, when Jesus would go to the cross and his side would be pierced by a sword. And when his side is pierced, I'm sure Mary remembered these words spoken long ago when he was just her little baby. A sword will pierce you also. I'm sure it did. God is breaking out. God is breaking out. And Simeon was ready and he was waiting. And now no sooner does Simeon walk away than another character comes up. Simeon's most likely an old man. We aren't given his age, but I guess we kind of deduce from his seeming contentment of God to call time on his life now that he's received his promise that he was probably fairly elderly. but possibly not as old as Anna. She's, depending on your reading of it, either 84 or she's been a widow for 84 years. Either way, she's been a widow for most of her life. She was only married for 7 years before her husband died, we're told. And you'd think it'd be easy for her to be a hopeless character or bitter about having had such a difficult life in that day. But that's not what she allowed to define her life. We're told she never left the temple, that she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She was a prophetess, one who heard from God and spoke his words powerfully in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And she was a waiter too. Not one who works serving tables in a restaurant, but she was waiting for God to break out in a new way, just like Simeon was. And God, in his marvelous way that he arranges things, arranged for her to be in the temple courts that day, at that exact moment too, just as Simeon was. And I'm guessing she became part of this encounter. Maybe she knew Simeon. Maybe she overheard the start of this conversation. And she became part of this impromptu celebration of the breakout of God. Chances are she probably knew Simeon, I guess, because she clearly knew others who were like them waiting on God for this breakout. Because Luke tells us that the first thing that she does after this is to seek out those other people and share the good news with them. This is just an amazing episode in the early life of Jesus. It's just easy to skip over this. But it's only one of just two events that we're told of between Jesus' birth and his adulthood. Why is it so remarkable? Well, because it shows us again that God is breaking out. God's kingdom life is about to break out through the life of this baby born in Bethlehem. In these history-defining days, as God is preparing to unleash heaven on earth in a totally new and dynamic way, he draws into the story two very ordinary people to help mark this moment for all time. Two people that we just catch the briefest of glimpses of. We don't hear of them again, but who God clearly wants us to take note of, or they wouldn't be recorded here. Two people who have allowed God's promises to grip their hearts and to shape and define their lives. They've prayed. They've waited. They've not given up. They've been faithful. They've been listening to the voice of God's Spirit. And they were ready and they were longing to be part of God's plan in whatever way he had prepared for them. They didn't give up. They didn't allow disappointment or past hurt to rob them of what God had put in their heart. And so they were ready in this moment for this encounter. And they didn't miss the moment that God had prepared them for. So what's the application for us? Well, God has already been speaking powerfully to us this morning. God is breaking out. Heaven invaded earth in a completely new way through Jesus. And God is continuing to pour out the life and the power of heaven, isn't he? To change lives and to change communities and to change nations through his Son. There is no increase, the Bible tells us, no end to the increase of his kingdom and of his rule. There is more today than there was yesterday of Jesus' kingdom and his rule and his power being made evident on this earth. And there will be more tomorrow than there is today. God is continuing to break out. He's broken out, changing history through the gift of his Son, Jesus. And he's continuing to break out in new ways, in new scope, just in every way imaginable. God is continuing to break out. Simeon was waiting and looking for the consolation of Israel. That's quite an odd phrase, isn't it? But consolation is when God comes to heal and to restore and to revive all that's been broken or thrown away or lost. God is breaking out in new ways day by day to bring consolation, to bring healing, to bring restoring, to bring reviving power. It's continuing to break out through Jesus. And Anna, we're told, was waiting and looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, another kind of odd phrase, but redemption speaks to us of the work of power to set people free and save them from enemies that would threaten. And God's saving and freeing power is continuing to break out through Jesus. God is breaking out right from the first moment this morning. We were being stirred and encouraged, not just by the words of people, but by the words of the Holy Spirit through people. Are we ready? God is breaking out in a new way. Are we ready for this year? This isn't just a beginning of the year. Let's G ourselves up. Actually, this is a sense that is living in our hearts that God is breaking out in an entirely new way this year. Something that is going to be different. A vaster scope than we can imagine. As we gather together, we were together as elders yesterday for a day of prayer and discussion. This sense just gripped our hearts. God is breaking out in a new way. God is stirring that in us, and again, even this morning. God is breaking out, so the question is, are we ready? Are we excited? Are we asking God to grip our hearts and our imaginations with this? Do you have a longing in your heart like Simeon and Anna had? Deep in your heart that says, God, I believe you're doing something wonderful in this world and in this day. God, I want to see it. I desperately want to see it. And I believe there's something tremendous going on, and you are the one behind it, Lord. And I want to watch it, but I don't just want to watch it. I would love somehow to participate in it, to be a part of it. We're just ordinary people. Simeon and Anna were just very ordinary people. But God had gripped their hearts with a promise and a hope and a longing. And they prayed. And they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they listened to his voice. And they obeyed his promptings. And they were faithful. And they encouraged one another as they looked forward together. And they were bold in expecting God to break into history again, to console and redeem his people, to heal and to save and to restore and to set free. What can we do? We can pray. We can seek God. Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you increase this longing in our hearts, this song in our hearts, Lord? We can be bold in expecting God to break into history in this time, in this place, in our community, in our lives, in this church, out there through this coming year. I believe in the very deepest part of my heart, in a whole new way and a whole new dimension this year. Peter spoke last week about a season of change. That picture of us sitting in different places, how he felt God was going to be doing new things in us and through us. And I didn't know what Peter was going to preach last week, and he didn't know what I was planning to preach this week. But I believe God's breaking out in a whole new way. And it's going to be bigger than what just happens in this building. It's going to be bigger than what just happens in our lives. But God gloriously invites us to participate in it. And he's putting, I know, a longing in our hearts that is crying out to him for this. God's breaking out. He's calling us to be ready and to pray and to be bold, to be ready to take new steps of faith as he leads us by his Holy Spirit. And we might not know the times and the places, but we know what it's going to look like. It's going to be consolation, and it's going to be redemption. It's going to be God healing, God saving, God setting people free, restoring what's been lost, making good what's been broken. It's going to be a revelation of his glory and his power and his grace that is going to be beyond anything that we've seen. And it's for ordinary people to be involved in. From the oldest to the youngest. It's good that Glue are in this morning, because this is for you too. Penny brought that song earlier. Are we ready, longing for the greatness of God? God, we want to see more of your greatness. Would you show me? Would you give me a heart of faith? Would you give me courage to believe you can do more than I have ever seen? That is the deepest, deepest cry of my heart. Before we just respond in prayer, I'd just like to invite David, because he had something that he's felt God really putting on his heart that he's asked if he can share this morning. So, David, would you like to come and just share with us for a moment?
Isn't it wonderful how the Lord confirms what he's saying? As I share what I've got to share, you'll pick out words, as Simon has already picked out, the Lord is saying the same thing, and again and again. What I want to share is started last year. Started with Bruce. When Bruce preached on the 15th of December, was the culmination of the most exciting morning of my life. That big. But before I just share that bit, there's just not much down here. One of the words was this morning was jigsaw. Right? So what the Lord did on the 15th of December was, in my jigsaw, dropped all the pieces in. There's still more pieces as you go through life, but all the ones he'd given us up to that point fell into place. And I just want to share a few one-liners the Lord has given us over the years, because these are parts of the jigsaw. At one point, some people who know me, I managed a Christian bookshop here in Aylsham for 13 years. Had 13 years of miracles. But as that time progressed, the Lord challenged me and said it's more profitable to the kingdom to teach than to just do. And he gave me that meeting between Joshua and Jesus, if you remember that, where Jesus was there with his big drawn sword and Joshua says, well, are you on our side or are you on their side? A.V., no, it is as captain of the armies of the Lord I am come. And the Lord said to me, come to me as Joshua came to me. Worship me as Joshua worshipped me. Gain the strategies from me so the walls of your Jerichos will come down. And then he immediately said, teach prayer, teach spiritual warfare, which I've done for years. Then, more recently, they're coming thick and fast. This time last year, the Lord said to us, it is time to raise up the miracle generation. I thought that was a small group, very small group of three people. I prayed with two ladies who were clinically barren, and they both got teenage daughters now. And my granddaughter's birth was a miracle birth as well. But the Lord said, no, forget that. It's time to raise up the miracle generation. A little while later, it's time to instill a warrior mentality. Who knows what war? There's a word that's been used many times this morning, and that is encounters. There came a point where there's so many miracles in my life that the Lord told me to drive a stake in the ground every time I had an encounter with him which resulted in a miracle. So what he said was, you need to do that to remember so you can lead other people along that path that I've led you along. That had another airing from the Lord a little while back, and it just showed me these stakes all over the place. You know, one over there, big gaps between them sometimes, little gaps, a mess. And then the Lord did what he does quite often with me. He just rolls the picture so I'm looking through his eyes rather than mine. Through the Lord's eyes. Straight line. Another one. Teach this generation and the next all I have taught you. That's a lot. When Bruce finished preaching on the 15th of December, so one or two people came forward and shared little bits. I got this prophetic word, which wasn't given, but I've been around long enough and old enough not to worry about not doing things in your timing. And the Lord has confirmed in the days between and several times this morning that now was the time to share that word. And what the Lord said to me basically was, those two guys, Jacob and Nathaniel, had encounters with the living God. That's pretty much what he said. Let's go back to the day itself. The morning when I got changed, tidied a bit before coming to church, as I shared at the prayer meeting at the time, I was just filled with excitement, absolutely buzzing. So I knew the Lord was up to something. And then, secondly, the Lord gave us this word as Bruce came to the end of that magnificent word he gave us. That word, the Lord said, is a springboard into this year. And he also says, Bruce's word has opened the door of opportunity for us. So I had this incredible excitement. I had this word from the Lord. And then afterwards, I just had a little word with Bruce and told him what I felt the Lord was saying. And when I spoke to him, the Lord just filled me with the Holy Spirit. Whack. I could have been on the floor. And that was the seventh time in a row. The previous six Sundays in the prayer time, the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit. On that occasion, on the 15th of December, I could walk with difficulty. I could stand just, and I could talk with difficulty. And I leaned against the desk up there, spoke to one or two people. Then I left, went home. Between that door and my bike, the Lord spoke to me again. And a difficult one to even share this. The Lord says, you are a walking parable. The key word was those two men, Jacob and Nathaniel, had encounters with the living God. For the last 30 years, I've had encounter after encounter after encounter with the living God. And what the Lord wants to do is to draw us all through, if you like, that gate, that door that he opened when Bruce preached on the 15th. What does it look like? We've talked a bit. Simon's talked a little bit about what it looks like. What does it look like when you have encounters with the living God? And I'll just do one quick one, which I've told you before. I was working in a shop one day, and this guy came in limping, leaning on a stick, in agonies, is waiting for a hip replacement. It was a complete mess. He was in agonies. And I chatted with him for a little bit, And three times he says, "I am not a godly man." I thought, yes, well, that's like waving a red flag to me. But I felt very strongly not to offer to pray with him, not to pray for him. He went out the door, but as soon as the door closed, I prayed. I said, "Jesus, heal this man. Please, heal this man." Jesus spoke to me and said, "Ask me what is the burden on my heart for this man."
Wow.
So I said, "Jesus, what is the burden on your heart for this man?" He says, "I want to reveal myself to him." So as the conversation went on, I said, "Right, Jesus, please reveal yourself to this man." Put the little notice up, back in 2 minutes, went in Mrs. Potts for a coffee. And I was stood with my back to the door being served. The place was packed. And this big noise, big voice from behind me says, "What you done?" I thought, wouldn't that be nice if it was somebody else? But you just know. It won't. "What you done?" So I turned around and said, "Well, I've just come for a coffee, you know. I'll open the shop up again in a minute." And No, he says, "What you done?" He says, "All the pain's gone." And then, quick as I am, I noticed he was holding the stick he'd been leaning on in his hands. He'd come up two very steep steps. He stood straight. And when he left, he walked comfortably away. December 15th, I had four encounters with God. Excitement, prophetic word, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then that personal word. What the Lord is saying to me is he wants us all to be able to move in that dynamic. And it's got many, many, many different aspects to it. The Bible says, have faith in God. Literal translation is, have the faith of God. When God encounters with you, speaks to you, he gives you his gift of faith to do what he's telling you to do. That's simple. I've got hundreds I could share. Hopefully, sometime we'll get through some of them. Some salvation, some healing, some deliverance, some praying for dying people. But Jesus says that word from Bruce was a springboard. That word opened the door. The Lord is inviting us to invite him to impact our lives in this dynamic, in whatever we're doing. Because what we've got is more than Simeon and Anna.
Thank you, David. Can I just invite us to stand together? Let's pray together. We've already had opportunity this morning to respond, but I just want to pray for us that God will continue to stir that longing in our hearts, that longing, that song that Simeon and Anna sung, that hunger for encounters with God that David was just sharing about. God has broken out. God has broken out through his son Jesus. God's glory and his power are no longer limited to one place. It's not about a temple. It's about Jesus, the head of his church, the head of his body, calling us, commissioning us, equipping us, inviting us, and opening heaven's door over us. So I would just invite you to once more open your hearts, and I'm going to pray on our behalf. I just invite you to pray. Let your prayers, let the longing in your heart mingle with the longing in my heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are breaking out. We thank you that you have broken out through your Son Jesus, that your glory you have promised is going to be revealed across the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of encounters. Thank you for encountering us again today. Thank you for drawing us into a life where you invite us to encounter you moment by moment, to know your presence, to hear your voice, to walk in the plans and the purposes that you have made for us that are far beyond our own imagining or our abilities. But you call us to trust. Do you call us to be expectant? You call us to pray. Do you call us to be faithful and obedient? To know that you are God. Lord, that is the longing of our hearts for this year. Lord, we want it to be different. Different from any other year, Lord. We long for you to take us into new places. Lord, we long for more and more encounters with you. Lord, we long for the breakout of your kingdom and your glory and your consolation and your redemption, your healing, your saving, your restoring. Lord, in ways and in areas that we've never seen before, in our lives, in our communities, across this nation, across the nations of the earth. We say thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us into this. The deepest longing of our hearts is to say yes, Lord, and is to step out in faith every day this year and beyond. Lord, we want to get to the end of this year and say like Simeon, not you can dismiss us in peace now, but Lord, that there is that sense of peace in our hearts that we have walked in what you've prepared for us. Because we know that is going to be glorious. And we know it's going to be uncomfortable at times. We know it's going to be challenging. We know there are going to be ups and downs. But Lord, there is nothing more than we want than to walk in all that you've prepared for us. For your glory to be shown. For your kingdom to break out in a whole new way amongst us. For salvation and healing. We pray this in the name of your Son and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Just to encourage you to be in faith for this, just to say over the coming weeks, please do be seated. The coming weeks we are going to be looking on Sundays, a series looking at the whole subject of healing. It's one of the areas that God has really stirred us to seek his breakout in. So we're going to be looking through these coming weeks at healing, just in expectation of that. Please be in expectation. Please keep praying. Be in faith. We've got an encounter meeting in a couple of weeks, but we don't have to wait for encounter meetings. At the end of the month, we're going to have another one of our half nights of prayer that we had last term. And then towards the end of February, beginning of March, we're going to build up to a week of prayer and fasting. But those are just kind of stakes in the ground. We are expecting God to be moving amongst us, aren't we? It's been